tonight. Turn with me in your Bible to Exodus chapter 3, or turn on your YouVersion app and you can follow along. You can download that app. It's awesome. You can follow along our notes that we put on there every Sunday morning. But today I want to talk briefly about serving, about leading. One of our values here at Key Point Church is serving. We love to serve. We believe serving and leading is a privilege. And I want to help you understand that today. But first, before we get into that, let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity to serve. We thank you for the opportunity to lead. We thank you that you're going to speak to us. You're going to teach us, Father, today. And Lord, we thank you that we're going to incline our ear to you. And we thank you we're going to leave here changed. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Come on, raise your hand if you saw the fight last night. Come on, somebody. You stayed up? Yeah? Hey, don't tell Stacy, but I put $1 million on Mayweather. And I won. No, I'm kidding. I didn't. I didn't. I just kidding. I want to read you something that I heard in a movie several years ago, and I believe it's extremely pertinent and applicable to our community and our political landscape today in terms of leadership. Listen to this. People want leadership, and in the absence of genuine leadership, they will listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone. And they're so thirsty for it, they'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage. And when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand. And I think there are a lot of people in our lives today, maybe at our high schools or our universities with us, or at our place of employment, or maybe even in our own homes, that are drinking the sand simply because there is an absence of not just genuine leadership, but of godly leadership. And I want to talk to you about your influence, because I believe, which is the title of the message, your influence matters. Look to the person next to you and say, it's yours. Point to them, say, it's yours, all right? It's yours. Now, because it's not polite to point, pull your finger in like that and show them your knuckle like that and go to the other person and go, it's you, all right? You matter. Your influence matters, all right? Now, people think, or they buy into this lie, that only a few of the top leaders or those who maybe were born on the right side of the track get this leadership nugget, if you will. They get the secret sauce, and they're the ones that do all these great and mighty things, but that's not the case. I don't believe that's true, that only a few people get in on it. This thing called leadership, this thing called influence. And last week we started studying the life of Moses, and we can quickly realize that's not the case. And here's Moses. He's given this daunting task of leading the children of Israel. What an amazing responsibility, out of slavery. Talk about difficult. Close to 3 million people, Moses now has to lead. They're angry, they're bitter, they're mad, they have been fought for years, could not think on their own, and now what God is calling Moses to do is lead these people to the promised land. That would be equivalent of me telling the whole state of Arkansas, hey, follow me, we're going over to Tulsa, okay? Come on, let's go. There's the promised land. Now, one would assume that Moses is probably better than everybody else, or he's one of those natural-born leaders, just excels off the chart, but that is not the case. In fact, in my opinion, I think we would not pick Moses for this responsibility. You think about his life. He was born in uncertainty. He was found in a river by an Egyptian girl who adopted him. And oh, by the way, her father was Pharaoh. So now here is a little Hebrew boy being raised in the palace of the very man, the Pharaoh, who hates his people. Yeah, tell me that doesn't cause major insecurity when Pharaoh gets mad one day and he knows that you're a Hebrew because you look a little different and talk a little different. Not to mention he was raised in the shadows of the future young Pharaoh as his brother, stepbrother. And one can only imagine from time to time that little Moses would probably get lost in the palace somewhere because they looked over him maybe because he wasn't going to be the next Pharaoh, and we just saved him from the river, and he's just here, and you You can only imagine how insecure and how fearful this made him feel. Then he had a speech impediment. And then ultimately, at one point in his life, he became a murderer, where he murdered someone out of anger for what they were doing to his people. And you can imagine the condemnation that he dealt with every day. The guilt. You took someone's life. And then he wandered in the desert for 40 years. For 40 lonely years, he was on the backside of the desert as a shepherd, leading sheep. And really, if you think about it, because of Moses' inability to speak, and he stuttered, I would imagine that he was a man of few words. I'm just not going to open my mouth. Every time I do, people laugh at me. I have a stuttering problem. Now, with all that in consideration, for me, I would look at Moses and think, surely this is not the guy for the job. Yet, God chose him. Come on, you need to say amen right there. You got to get this. In spite of all that, God chose him. That proves that, write this down, that everyone is a leader. Everyone is chosen to lead. You're chosen. You're chosen to lead. Despite your skills, are they good, are they not, your weaknesses, even the most introverted. And you don't have to be a natural born leader to lead. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have a certain amount of money. You don't have to have a certain amount of status. You don't even have to have a certain level of education. You can lead. To be a good leader, all you need to know is two things. I'm going to teach one of them today, what leadership is. We've got to have a proper understanding of what true biblical leadership is. Then next week we're going to talk about this, that there's got to be a desire, a hunger to develop this leadership. So what is leadership? Here it is, plain and simple. Write this down. Leadership is influence. We make it out to be so complicated, and I've got to be this, or I've got to talk like that, or I've got to look like this. And in some cases, that may be true. But at the end of the day, leadership is influence. It's not charisma, it's not talent, nor the stage. It is just influence. So if leadership is influence, then that makes you a leader. Sociologists have studied this, and they said even the most introverted person over the course of their life will influence right at 10,000 people. 10,000, the most introverted person. Stacy and I have a family member, and this guy, he is one of those guys that just stumbles through life. And if you don't have one of those guys in your family, you're probably that guy. But anyway, But he's the one that shows up at Christmas or Thanksgiving, and he always has a motley crew with him. When he shows up, I mean, you think, really? Where did you get all these people? What are they doing? What are y'all doing? Surely y'all are hungry. Oh, okay, there's good food. But he has no education. I think the best 3 years of his life was ninth grade. He has zero status. I mean, his hair's always messed up. He never can really hold a job. One month he's working on the oil rigs out in the Gulf. The next month he's got a roofing company. The next month he's working somewhere on the coast doing this, just up and down. But he always has people with him everywhere he goes. Why is that? Because he has influence over them. Therefore, he leads them. Whether you think so or not, or even if you like it or not, you lead. You are either leading people with your influence, maybe by some of your Facebook rants or Twitter rants or Instagram posts, to hate you or to like you. You're either leading your family because of the way you influence them to walk towards peace or prosperity in their soul, or because of the choices you make, you're leading your family through influence away from the church and God and everything else that could cause their life to thrive. So why not get intentional about your leadership? Why not, as a Christian, let's take this thing serious and go, you know what? I want to lead on purpose. I want to wake up every day. I just don't want to survive. I want to lead on purpose. I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, with my current leadership and those that I influence in my life, how am I doing? How am I leading them? Or here's a better question, where am I leading them to? Several years ago, I was watching a college football game, which we do on Saturdays in the fall. Woo-hoo, come on, baby. Hey, anytime LSU loses, you can't say anything about it, all right? We'll celebrate when Arkansas wins, but don't you dare go there when LSU loses. Anyway, all right, love me some college football. LSU was losing this particular day, and man, I got really mad, and Hudson, my youngest one, got up off the couch, and he went over to the wall, and he hit it like that. Ugh! I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Well, Dad, I'm just doing what you did last week. I'm like, uh-oh. See, my leadership, because leadership is influence, and I influence my kids, my reactions led Hudson to do what I was doing. That's why you have to ask yourself. We're leading. Whether we think so or not, we're leading. We pick up the story in Exodus chapter 3. Moses, he's tending, scripture says. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. That is so funny to me. His father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led. Everybody say led. See, you're leading, even if it's not people, you're leading something. And in this case, Moses was leading sheep, and to make matters worse, he was leading sheep that weren't even his. How'd that go for you, Moses? How's your sheep doing, Moses? Oh, wait, hold on. They're not yours. They're your father-in-law's. Boy, I bet that was hung over his head a lot. That didn't go too well. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness. The far side of the wilderness. In other words, Moses was running away from his responsibility and what he was supposed to be doing as a leader to influence the nation of Israel, God's people. But he was running as far as he could from it. For 40 years, he ran away from what God was telling him to do. 40 years. 40 years. And he's leading a bunch of sheep. His scope of influence didn't go beyond the sheep that he was leading. Moses was meant to lead millions, but Moses was leading sheep. Now, there's nothing wrong with leading sheep, all right? Y'all understand that, right? If God has called you to lead sheep, then you better be the best sheep leader that you could find on this earth. You better, because you'll be held responsible for that. But if God has called you to lead people, then you better lead people. I believe there's times in my life where I missed it and I didn't step up. And because I didn't step up and lead people and influence people, someone else stepped in and began to lead those people for me. And I've made a decision, listen to me, that's not going to happen in my life anymore. Because I don't want someone else leading people that I need to be leading. If God's called me to lead my wife and my children, then I'm going to be leading my wife and my children. I don't want someone else leading my wife and my children and my family. Come on, you need to give me a good amen right there, all right? We have to ask ourselves, what are we leading? Who are we leading? Where are we leading them to? I think sometimes we run like Moses and we're far away from God, and then we wonder why we're drinking sand. We wonder why there's a vacuum in our heart and our family doesn't connect and our family doesn't love God and our family and our children have a hard time with authority and they're out there. And let me tell you why, because Moses settled. Moses sold himself short, and as a result, he lived a dull life. He was merely surviving. He was taking care of the little sheep, my father-in-law's sheep. Don't even have my own sheep, just my father-in-law's sheep. And them little suckers bite. God, doggone it, I hate their bites. They smell. It's out here. But you know what? All that condemnation and guilt I've struggled with, I've kind of figured out how to dumb it down now. I don't have to talk about it much because I'm not with everybody. I'm way out here by myself. And I think he settled. And let me tell you something. Jesus did not die on the cross so that you and I, 2,000 years ago, could just settle for the mundane, all right? Jesus died on the cross. God sent his son to die for you and me. Listen to me, teenagers, young men and young women, so that you and I could thrive in the world that he has placed us in, amen? John 10:10, we know the beginning of that scripture. For the enemy, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We know that. That's his primary goal, to steal and kill and destroy whatever is close to the heart of God. But here's the promise. We can't stop right there. But I, Jesus, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Life. This is not someone who's just ordinary. This is extraordinary. I'm going to have this life and it's going to be abundant life. Not only but abundant, but more abundantly. More abundantly. That word abundant in the Greek, it means that it is more than what you anticipated. Let's say you're thinking, man, you just crushed it this quarter. You're getting a bonus, and you've got to figure, more than likely, I'm going to get this, maybe a five-figure bonus. Come on, somebody. How many like that, huh? Or a six-figure bonus. Come on. Yeah, and you're anticipating this number. Let me tell you what more abundantly would be. This is the life you can have. This is thriving, okay? Is when you open up that check and you're thinking it's going to be maybe $15,000 and you look at it and you go, hee-hee, it's $30,000. Come on, somebody. It's more than what you anticipated. Yeah, you can clap right there. Thank you. Come on, Jesus. That's the life that he wants for us. It's more. It's exceptional. It's extraordinary. And often I find we don't get intentional about our leadership, therefore we do not strive. We don't thrive. Well, we got a good house. I got a good car. I mean, when I leave this church in a moment, I'm going to get in that car, it's going to turn on. It's going to have cold AC. It's good. Got good kids. At least I think they're good. You may not think they're good, but I do, all right? Got some clothes at home that don't have holes in them. I mean, I'm living a good life. Let me tell you something that's more abundantly. That's my platform, all right? And I want to challenge some of y'all's faith. Look, thriving is more than just having a nice car. Thriving is more than just having a good life. That's what God wants to start in you, amen? And we're going to thrive. And when you get intentional about your leadership and influencing people, that's when you begin to thrive. It's more than what I anticipated. See, this is a life on purpose. It's a life with purpose. It's a life that's worth leading. It's got to be intentional. It's got to be intentional. You cannot have an abundant life if you aren't intentional about leading. Then here comes the encounter. Verse 2. If you're familiar with this story, many pastors over the last several years call it the burning bush experience, where Moses comes face to face with God. And it says this, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Read that with me. There the angel of the Lord appeared. Where? There. Where did the angel of the Lord appear? There. Come on, say it out loud. Like, there. Where's there? There is on the other side of the wilderness where Moses shouldn't be. There is where Moses has been for 40 years running away from his responsibility as being the leader and influencer that he needs to be. But yet, God still came looking for him. 40 years, and some of us condemn ourselves and think we're disqualified because we've been 4 minutes on the far side of the desert, or 4 days running away from God, when in fact that tells me right there, where 40 years beyond where Moses was supposed to be, God still came to him and said, hey, this leadership opportunity is still here if you want it. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. You better believe it. Why the bush doesn't burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called. Once again, he said, Moses, I have an opportunity of leadership for you. I'm calling you to this. He called him from within the bush. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And in verse 9, we hear the heart and the passion of our Heavenly Father. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. Everybody say go. In the Hebrew, you know what go means? It means get off your rear end and go do something, all right? Go and lead and influence someone who right now is oppressed, and they're crying out to God for a deliverer. Go, Moses, go. I am sending you. I'm sending you, Moses. I'm sending you. I'm sending you, Moses, to Pharaoh. Well, that's going to work out good, God. A little history here, a little lesson here, just in case you forgot. You know, I'm Hebrew. He's Egyptian. He don't like me. Remember, it didn't end well. I don't think I need to go back. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses had to decide which path he was going to take. Was he going to stay there in an ordinary, mundane, safe environment on the backside of the desert, tending his father-in-law's sheep, or was he going to step up to the challenge and say, I'm going to be extraordinary. I'm going to do something extraordinary. And I believe that God is calling out every single person in this room. Listen to me, young man, young lady that are in high school right now. I believe God has given you influence, and he wants to call you out to be extraordinary with the influence that he has given you in your high school. Sir, I believe God has given you influence at your work. Ma'am, I believe God has given you influence in your circles, and God is calling you out to go, to influence someone. And you can decide, I'm going to stay with my father-in-law's sheep, or today I am going to hook up in the adventure of my life. Let me challenge your heart for a moment. There are thousands and thousands of people right now within a gunshot, a stone's throw of this church, that are hurting, depressed, and oppressed. And what could change their life is you influencing them to live for God. Amen. I think it could change. It could change. God is calling us all to influence people to experience life in Jesus. Yeah, but I'm not a pastor. I can't talk that well. I get nervous and I get all pity when I speak. No, you do that. You do that. Nope. If I were to say that's okay, I'll do it, then I am taking from you the power of evangelism, the power of you saying, God has changed my life. Let me tell you my story. Don't sell yourself short. And Moses, he had a few reasons as to why. Verse 11 in Exodus chapter 3. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Me, God? Who am I? Then in Exodus 4 and verse 10, pardon your servant, Lord. I am slow of speech and tongue. I've been like that for a long time. Remember, God, I've got an issue. And then he flat out says what he was really thinking, which I believe we need to be real with God. Like, you're not going to offend God. God's not going to go, when you tell him the truth, all right? Stop acting. Tell God the truth. And God hears the truth from Moses. Verse 13, Lord, please send somebody else. Really? Just send somebody else, God. Not me. I can't lead. I'm not good enough. I can't think through this condemnation and fight through this insecurity. I can't do it. If you don't hear anything else today, you got to hear this. Surrendering to insecurities keeps you living ordinary. There's not a day that doesn't go by where I'm challenged with my insecurities. Fear of this happening and that happening. But I don't surrender to it, amen? But when you surrender to God's lead, you will live extraordinary. It's not about your skill. We can develop that. It's about your willingness to shut out all insecurities and step up and begin to lead anyway. Tell the devil to shut up and he's an idiot. And you on the winning side because you read the end of the book. And no weapons that are formed against you shall prosper, all right? It's time for us as a church. It's time for us as individuals. It's time for us as families who call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior to start leading with biblical influence, amen? What would this community look like if we as Christ followers went and influenced those that we have influenced right now? It would totally look different. And let me help you understand this biblical mandate. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, and he gives this one last commandment, and it's for you and I today. If it was good enough for the disciples then, I think it's good enough for you and me today, all right? It's the same thing the Holy Spirit was saying in the Old Testament. Here it is in the New Testament. Therefore, go! Let me help you understand in the Greek what go means. Get off your rear end and go and influence someone for Jesus. Amen? I don't care how imperfect you are or how least educated you are, or you may not have that certain position. You have influence. And if you are a Christ follower, God has given you the mandate to go and make disciples, influence them, and lead them towards living a life and thriving rather than going this way towards the things of this world. That's what influence is. And I love the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as I end. Verse 27, all of you, all. It's not that hard to interpret, all. It's all of us. This includes all of us. Together, we form one body of Christ, and each of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Each of you. So we have different parts. Some of you are a hand. Some of you are an elbow. Some of you are all ears. Some of you are eyes. Some of you are the nose. Some of you are the feet. We all have specific areas of influence. And I need you to influence the people in your life or I'm going to miss out. And you need me to influence with what God has given me, those in my life, or you're going to miss out. Let me bring this home and help you understand it. Several weeks after I gave my heart to Christ, I was 19 years old. Let me explain it to you this way. I was running after the world and everything that the world had fast. And it's funny how the enemy was allowing me to be real good at the things of the world. I was good at it. I knew how to sin really good, and I was having fun. But I knew in my heart I was missing out. I would bust hell wide open. God saved me. My heart was changed. Y'all can play little keyboards here. My heart was changed totally, totally changed, all right? It was like God just removed my inside hearts of stone and coldness, and he just put a piece of heaven inside of me, and I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was experiencing in my life and what was going on, and it was a Sunday night service. Now, this was back in the day when we had Sunday night service and several thousand people would show up, and these were the real deal hungry people for God. I mean, you didn't go to church on Sunday night like twice in one day? Man, could you imagine that? Well, I was at church Sunday night because I just wanted more of God. I couldn't believe that I was living this life. Me? What? And I was standing on a row with about 10 other young men that were my age. And these were men of God, according to the standard of the church. These were young men who knew how to serve God. And some of them even had callings in their life to be pastors. And they had already embraced that calling, all right? And we were singing a song, a worship song, and in the worship song, the lyrics came across, and the lyrics were, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. It was beautiful. Everybody in the church was singing in unison, Lord, I love you, I lift my voice. And then the next line, the lyrics were, Lord, I love you, Lord, so I lift my hands to worship you. And before I even could think, raise your hands, because that's what the song is saying, Lord, I love you. I'm surrendering my life to you. I want extraordinary. And I raised my hands, and it was as if heaven just was funneled right down into me. It was amazing. And I began to realize that God put influence in me to help people and lead people to worship God. That's why we have worship like it is here. It's not a participation. Not spectator. We're going to participate. We're going to worship God. Amen. I encourage you to work that. And several years later, here I am. I'm starting to lead worship. I'm 19. I'm 20. I start leading worship in different areas, helping people. As I learn how to lead worship, I'm helping people worship God. God's using me in my giftings to help people worship God. And a friend of mine who now pastors an amazing church in Dallas, South Dallas, he came up to me several years later and he said, "Casey, I don't know if you know this, but you did something on this particular day that really inspired me to worship God." Now, this was a man that I looked up to. I mean, he knew God, and he was a mentor and a close friend to me. And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he went back to that certain day, and he said, you were standing there, and it was about 10 of us, and you were the only one that raised your hand. Not that you don't have to raise, you know, you have to raise your hands. That's not what I'm saying. But I saw the passion that you had, and because you worshiped God like that, it influenced me. I need to worship God and give him all. And from that moment on, I began to realize my part, one of my parts for the body of Christ is to teach people how to worship God, how to come before the Lord and humble themselves and surrender their lives. And if I don't do my part, you're going to suffer because of it. And if you don't do your part, we're all going to suffer, okay? What would your life be like? What would your family be like? What would your marriage be like if you went home and said, "Babe, we're going to read the Bible tonight. Turn off football"? She'd probably faint. And after you picked her up, "Hey, we're going to church. Y'all get your clothes ready. Oh, we're going to lead a life group this semester because God's called me to lead. I can influence people. I can love on people. We're going to lead a life group where we go out and serve the community. We're going to lead a life group where we teach single moms how to change their oil and paint their, we're going to go out and help them. We're going to lead. We're going to be a part of a life group." What would your life be like if you stepped up and stepped out and begin to lead and influence those around you? That's living an extraordinary life. And I believe right now we can count many, many people that God has put around us that we can influence. And I would love for us to be a church that understands that leadership, serving, it's not just something that we do. There's a reason why. It's a privilege. This is a privilege to be on this stage every Sunday morning, to stand in this pulpit and speak the word of God to you. It is a privilege. Will you bow your heads with me this afternoon as we close? If you're in here today and you would say, "Pastor Casey, my first step is leadership. It's leading me. I need to lead me. And I know I'm not where I need to be. I'm wandering in the desert. In fact, I've never even been by God. I've never even given my heart to Jesus. And right now, I want to." Maybe you're having a face-to-face moment with Jesus. There's something burning going on inside of you. That's the Lord calling you out. I want us all to pray this prayer of salvation. I want us all to pray this prayer of repentance. Come on, out loud. I want us all to pray it. Say, "Jesus Christ, I repent of my sins, and I ask you to change me. I call you the Lord of my life. Jesus, be my leader. I submit my life to you. Thank you for placing a piece of heaven in my heart today. Amen." You keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer and you know who I'm talking to, and I believe there's a few of you in here that will say, "Pastor Casey, today I need to lead my heart to Jesus. And I just prayed that prayer and I sense it and I know something's going on. There's a fire going on. There's something's happening. Let me know about it." All I ask you to do is raise your hand. No one looking around. If that's you and you prayed that prayer, just raise your hand around the room. Yeah, yeah. Come on, put your hand up. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, young lady. Come on, raise your hand. Yeah, thank you, ma'am. All the way in the back. Thank you, sir. Wow. I prayed that prayer and that's it. I need to lead my heart to Jesus today. He needs to be my leader, my Lord and Savior. Anybody else? Come on, raise your hand. Yeah. Thank you, ma'am. Now, maybe this message was for you. Maybe it's time for you to step up and be the leader that God has called you to be. If it's in your home, if it's in your own personal thought life, if it's tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. at work, Be the leader that God has called you to be. There's people that depend upon it. Whatever that gifting might be that God has placed in your life, make a decision. God, I want to live a thriving life. I want abundant life. More than what I anticipate. If that's you, just raise your hands up right now. My hands are up because I want it more abundantly. Father, I want to live that thriving life. I want to be intentional about my leadership at home with myself, with my kids, with my sphere of influence, Lord, with this church, Lord. Lord, I pray that you broaden and you enlarge the scope of influence of everyone here at Key Point Church, because we are individuals, we are enlarging. And because we are doing it, Lord, we are going to influence more people towards peace, towards rest, towards the Holy Spirit, towards forgiveness, towards your word, God, rather than strife and anger and anxiety. And Lord, I pray today you help me, because I know I'm not good enough. I need you to make up the difference, because I want to live an extraordinary life. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those who agree with me, say amen right there. Come on, Key Point Church. Put your hands together this afternoon for Jesus. Woo! Come on, stand to your feet as we go. Stand to your feet as we go. We want to make sure we pastor you. If you raised your hand for that first prayer to respond to Jesus, to make him the Lord of your life, the leader of your life, that's what salvation is. You simply giving up leadership and saying, God, you lead me. Let me know about it. Take this conversation card and fill it out. You can drop them in the gray boxes as you go today, or I would encourage you to leave them at guest services and stop with one of our hospitality service right there, our guest services, and let them help you with this. Say, hey, what's going on? How can we pray with you, okay? If you need anything else, any type of prayer, any type of situation you're dealing with, you can fill this out as well. Leave it at guest services. Also, we're going to have our prayer team that's going to be up here. If you need prayer today, if you need someone to speak a word over your life, maybe encourage you about something that you're dealing with, I would encourage you to go and find one of them at the end of the service and say, hey, pray for me. This is what I'm dealing with today. I need God to show himself faithful right here, okay? We love you. Have a fantastic day. Don't forget to go to she.keypointchurch.com to sign up, all you ladies. And never forget, Jesus is the key. Y'all go and be influencers. Love you.